American made, but like Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
I'm Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR. This is the Michelle Morin After Hour Show with Jason Hunt, my producer. This is a show that I use to talk about all the stuff that I ran out of time to talk about on my live on-air show. It is September 3rd, 2017, and we're going to just pick up where we left off on the live on-air show. There's so many stories that I intend to get to on my live show, and 11 o'clock rolls around, and Jason looks at me and says, calm down. You can't get it all in the last 5 minutes.
You try to cram it all in the last little piece of the show.
I do. It's very frustrating because I want you all to hear it. But there's a story that I've been meaning to comment on for this will be the second week. If you heard my show 2 weeks ago, I shared a story on the live show about a Colorado man who posted on Facebook that he was stabbed after being mistaken for a neo-Nazi. And interesting thing about being on air, on talk radio, and hearing yourself talk, it's the funny thing. There's a lot of value in talking, because if you listen to yourself, things don't always add up. And it was interesting. I was reading the story. It was from, I found it on some legitimate conservative sites. However, first flag was it wasn't sourced anywhere else. Second flag was I was hearing myself read the story and the thought came to my mind, this sounds too bad to be true.
And actually, to your credit, New York Post wrote an article up on it.
Okay.
Washington Post wrote an article on it.
Okay.
And they all cited his Facebook page.
Oh, wow.
That's it.
And that, you know, I saw that and I thought, we're going to take this guy's words? But I shared the story and I heard myself say it. And of course, if you could go in my mind when I'm doing my show, I'm saying one thing and I'm kind of like rehearsing another in another compartment. And while I'm sharing the story, I can hear, you know, my gut saying, this is not sounding right, Michelle. And then I went on to the next story and show was over. Then we went on to the After Hours podcast and I said I shared what my gut instinct was telling me, that this didn't quite add up, and that I told you I would be apologizing to someone, whether it was the guy who supposedly got stabbed,
if
or
if it turned out to be true,
yes,
you'd have to apologize to him, or
my listeners for telling them a fake story.
Yep.
Well, I'm apologizing to my listeners, all of you.
Michelle, you're fake news.
I know. Hey, you know, I am not afraid to be wrong. And I want to keep myself honest and transparent here. I'm not afraid to be wrong. And I did come out and say that night, something's not right with this story.
Yeah.
And the pictures.
That's what got me the
most.
That's
what got me. Because you've got this picture of, he took close-up pictures of his hand on his bloodied denim jean knee. And his hand was all bloodied and he had this nice clean gauze wrapped around it. So he's like still in his car.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, so you just got attacked and stabbed. And then you get in your car and you wrap yourself in gauze and take pictures and then call the police? That part just didn't make sense to me.
Well, the part that didn't make sense to me was, who has gauze in their car?
I do.
I know. How many people can say that?
Not very many.
Not very many. I know me personally, if I got stabbed, I would be wrapping a t-shirt or something around
something.
It because something
tissues,
I don't have.
Tissues, a tissue box, whatever.
So, yeah, I don't have gauze.
So tell, you did more research. Tell why, how this came out about as not a real story.
Well, the police, of course, got into it and started investigating it because the man was stabbed.
Yeah.
It's a hate crime. Well, they questioned him and he said, oh yeah, this man, he described this person who stabbed him. And this man came up, stabbed me, and then ran off. And so the police look for this man. They find a homeless man 2 blocks away, fits the description, but he has no blood on him, no knife,
oh,
no evidence, no anything. And so they question this man.
He set someone up for this?
Yeah, he must have seen him on the way. The police are assuming he saw them on the way to the
Steak
and
Shake. That's horrible.
Yeah, and just that was the first person who came to his mind, I guess. You know, it gets worse than that.
Oh, my gosh.
So they question this man. No, they can't find any evidence whatsoever. There was a struggle. There's no blood on him. He has no knife. He has nothing. So they can't do anything to this man. So they go, okay, you know, let's look at some security footage. There's a sports store across the way. Maybe they have a good angle of the parking lot. Mind you, this is a very open parking lot with a lot of people in it. Nobody witnessed this thing. And so the police are, you know, they're looking. They're like, hey, you know, did anyone see anything happen? Did you hear anything? Nobody. The only witness is the man who was stabbed.
That's a problem.
So that's a problem. And so they're looking at security footage, and they realize he went into the sports store and bought a box cutter, went back to his car, and then went over to the Steak and Shake parking lot, and that's it. There's nobody running from the scene. There's no witness. There's tons of people in there, but nobody witnessed it. So they go back and they question him, and they say, look, like a week later, they bring him back and say, look, we looked into this, and it doesn't seem like your story is right. Did you forget something? You want to, you know, tell us anything more? And, of course, he breaks down at that point and just tells him the whole story about how he bought the box cutter, went back to his car, and as he was opening it, cut himself. And that's it.
Oh, my gosh.
And the icing on the cake is he made this big deal about how he had a neo-Nazi haircut.
Yeah.
If you look at his mugshot, he has long hair.
Oh, in the mugshot.
In the mugshot, because they booked him on false reporting.
Right, right. Oh, really?
He doesn't have his, like, really close shaven side of his head.
Yeah.
Nope. Long. I mean, flowing hair, but very long. Not even close to the haircut he supposedly had.
That's so weird.
It is so. It's a screaming for attention, like what you said earlier when we talked about it. He just wants attention in some way.
Oh, I cut myself with a box cutter. Oh!
I need to post this on
Facebook. I could be famous!
I'm famous, especially right after the Charleston. Come on, really? Disgusting person taking advantage of a situation.
Oh, well, anyway, there you have it. There's our correction for that. So, you know, CNN's not going to correct their fake stories, but will here.
They'll just get rid of the article online and just ignore it like it never happened.
There you go. Okay. There's this high school teacher in River Ridge High School. It's in Woodstock, Georgia. And Turning Point has a Facebook page, and they're the ones who have this original video and audio. A high school teacher ordered a student to remove his shirt. The shirt said, "Make America Great Again." This teacher said it was akin to wearing a shirt with a Nazi swastika. And this is not fake because we've got the audio to prove it.
We have audio. Well, what if it was a staged act?
I know. I know. You just have to question everything these days.
Everything.
Everything. So I guess there's a caveat maybe for, you know, everything we report's got to have like three sources. Let's hear it because we're just going to go with it as is, and until we're proven that this was a hoax, we're
going to assume it's real.
That's right.
And a quick note beforehand, this video was shot on a phone by a student, and it is not the best quality. I tried to boost levels so we can get as much of the conversation as possible, but some parts are a little low.
Okay. All right, let's go for it.
You cannot wear a swastika to school. You cannot use a slogan like that. Please go back. You can't.
I didn't mean to.
Please go at least for this. I don't care what you do in other classes, but in my class.
Wait, so both of them have to like flip their shirts inside out because it says Trump on the top? They got to flip their shirts inside out because it's got Trump on it and it's supported by...
Because it says Make America Great Again.
Okay.
Neo-Nazis. I'm not saying about Trump.
Oh. Okay.
She was very clear about, I'm not saying that Nazi or Trump is a Nazi, but I want to keep bringing up swastikas and Nazis and racism.
Gosh.
As much as I can while I talk about this.
There you have it. So while we're talking about schools, there's this new thing called SEL, social and emotional learning. public schools need to stay away from our children. I what I'm about to share with you makes me go back to the same premise I say about everything. Unless it's national defense, when the government gets involved and takes over something that should be in the private market, once the government becomes big and gets a foothold in something, i.e. healthcare, education, whatever it may be, then government's failure presents an opportunity for a crisis that government can then again come in and rescue everyone from. And it's the snowball effect of government failing. So hence government must come up with a solution and get bigger. And then it fails again. It must come up with more solutions to get bigger. And it just becomes this spaghetti mess of way too much government and absolutely no individual freedom. All that to say, the public schools are in that same boat. So Breitbart's got some statistics here. 37% of 12th graders in the United States were prepared for college-level coursework in math and reading in 2016. 37%. Only 37%. But many public school districts want to not worry about that, and they want to focus on social and emotional learning. Now, in April of 16, Breitbart did publish some statistics. It said that U.S. high school students are earning more A's in the classroom, but declining in scores on the SAT achievement test.
I've read about this.
It's artificial grade inflation.
Yes.
Easy to do. The results of the 2015 Trends in International Math and Science study in the Program on International Student Assessment found Americans showing at best mediocre performance in math, science, and reading. I'm not surprised. But never mind all that. The experts say that kids need to be learning about social and emotional learning. And the school districts are learning how to measure social and emotional learning. It's called SEL. Teach SEL and produce the kind of child any government or chamber of commerce could love. That's the Breitbart editor. Those aren't my words. I wish they were. So at Education Week, a gal named Evie Blatt explains it this way. Social-emotional learning emphasizes the personal and relational skills that researchers and employers say students need to succeed both inside and outside the classroom. Skills like social awareness and self-management, measurements that track how students are performing in these areas, would help schools decide if their approaches and programs are successful. Some policymakers have pushed for more precise measurements that might allow for the inclusion of so-called non-cognitive skills in state school accountability models.
So to me, that says, we don't want to teach you how to do something. We'd rather you be a very good person.
Yeah, and you want the state... making your kids a good person.
We can make you into a good communist. Come on. You love everybody. Share everything you have.
Well, apparently, this is being encouraged by a program called Every Student Succeeds Act. This is a federal program.
Every Student Succeeds.
It promotes the measurement of non-academic accountability measures. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution notes this. This trend is bolstered by the recent FedEd bill, the Every Student Succeeds Act, which encourages schools to include such non-academic measures in their accountability ratings. It's bad enough that feds demand accountability, which should be to parents, not federal or state bureaucrats, but it's even worse if they dictate that how that accountability should look. So much for the bipartisan propaganda that ESSA ended federal education mandates. They never do end the mandates. This SEL has even infiltrated the ACT college readiness test. ACT announced the launch of ACT to Sarah, which is described as a comprehensive next-generation assessment system designed to measure social and emotional learning skills. ACT says the new system is geared for middle and high school students and will provide actionable lesson plans for teachers to use in their classrooms. Middle and high school students will be taught and assessed in 6 psychological areas. As soon as they start saying psychological areas, there's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
So the government schools are going to be testing kids in these areas. Number 1, tenacity and grit. Isn't that counter to the victim thing that they... Maybe it's tenacity and grit about being a victim.
Well, no, it's if you have too much of it, we need to lower that.
Oh, you might be right.
You have too much grit.
Number 2, composure and resilience. Number 3, organization and responsibility. Number 4, curiosity and ingenuity. 5, teamwork and cooperation. 6, leadership and communication style. Red flags everywhere for me. Don't be teaching that this is not what the state's supposed to be doing.
That's not what a school is supposed to be doing. That's not your responsibility.
No! There's something called CASEL. It's the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning. So there's all these groups and organizations now just spawning out of this. CASEL has gone so far, they've advanced a plan to design model preschool to high school social and emotional learning standards.
Preschool.
Self-management, self-awareness, responsible decision-making, relationship skills, social awareness. Don't touch my kids. Don't. I will teach them those skills. Those are my priorities, not the state's.
What is a parent supposed to do? We're getting to a point where we don't need parents because, I mean, we have the government just teaching you everything.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
There is some video from this CASEL. It says, in Social Detective, students watch video clips of people answering questions like, what makes a good friend? And then they describe the person in their own words, answering multiple choice questions. Like, what is more important to this person, loyalty or honesty? In this, the assessment itself, students can practice social perspective taking. Where that's going to go. They get immediate feedback about how their answers match the answers of the people who appeared in the videos.
So conformity, okay.
A full assessment includes 15 minutes of watching a video, answering questions, getting feedback, and repeating the exercise at least 3 times.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. Get away from my kids. Get away from America's kids. This is total Marxism. This is getting way too far in kids' minds. We're supposed to be teaching critical thinking skills, so... And knowledge, true knowledge. And social skills are not the state's. No. Social and psychological and emotional. Get away from my kids.
Holy
danger, God. danger ahead. So there's that.
Do they have any plan on when they're deciding to implement that? Or where, so I can stay away from there? Portland, maybe?
No, it just is in the works. So ACT has already announced the launch of their ACT to Sara. So it's already in the works. The core competencies are already in the works. It's probably just a matter of when school districts can actually plan to implement it.
No, it's probably a matter of when regulations come down that you have to use it to get federal funding or some BS like that.
Yes. All right, so there's your school update for this program. Now, after the live show, I had some time to get on social media, and Jason was talking about fires in Oregon, and I'm finding out now that we've got huge fires in Oregon, huge fires in Washington, and Montana. Headlines are Montana is literally burning all over the place. Yeah. Why don't we know about this? The media is not doing its job.
It's not doing its job, and they are covering Harvey, which on a scale of destruction, I would put Harvey probably a little bit above those things, but you don't exclude those things. You just cover Harvey a little bit more, but you also tell me about these fires.
Yeah, nobody knows to help. Everybody's rushing to Texas.
Yeah, everyone's going to Texas, which is a good thing, but we also need some help over in other areas
as
well.
That explains the haze. We were talking about it on the live show, but that explains the haze even more so. I looked, and there really aren't any fires in Colorado burning right this second. It's Montana, Oregon, and Washington State. Yeah. Golly, what a mess. Ugh. Mess. There's a store, a clothing maker, British retailer, John Lewis. They've become the first British retailer to remove boys and girls labels from children's clothes. Can you guess why?
Well, because that puts them in a box, Michelle. We can't gender identify.
They don't want to reinforce gender stereotypes.
Oh, Lord.
So instead of boys and girls and boys... Oh, no, they're using boys and girls and boys tags instead of boys or girls tags.
Oh, so it's both.
It's both.
Did they remove it from men's and women's?
Did not say. It says boys and girls.
Oh, so they're just doing it for children. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hmm.
Head of children's wear, Caroline Bettis, said, "We don't want to reinforce gender stereotypes within our John Lewis collections and instead want to provide greater choice and variety to our customers so that the parent or child can choose what they would like to wear."
I know that whenever I buy my clothing, if I grab a woman's shirt, they won't even let me buy it. They stop me at the register and say, "Sir, you cannot buy this shirt. It obviously says women's. Put it back."
Yeah, you're right.
What is stopping it? The tag is not going to stop you.
No, it's not. There's a campaign group called Let Clothes Be Clothes.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I would appreciate if they did that. It's just clothing. What do you have to make a political statement about men's, women's, boys, girls?
Well, my take on it, biology is not a stereotype, folks. It's reality. This is just, it's the left is in utopia land, fantasy land, and destroying, taking the rest of us down with them.
They're not in fantasy land. They're just running out of options. They have to find the minority that they can help. And so they're running out. They're like, "Oh, we have to find a new one." They're creating more minorities. And
they are. All right. Here's some bad news for Colorado. According to CBS Denver, I got this from Daily Wire, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, I don't know if you know this, you can go out and find sex offenders online here in Colorado. You can look in your neighborhood, and I have found them. I found them in my neighborhood.
And why'd you move to that neighborhood?
They moved after me.
Oh.
It's terrible. But you can find out where the sex offenders are in Colorado. They're next door, if they're 2 miles away, if they're on the other side of town, you can find out where they are.
And as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that a federal thing? Like, it's not just Colorado State. It's like everywhere. If you're a sex offender, you have to register and notify.
According to this article, it sounds like a Colorado thing. I can't answer that question.
Maybe, yeah. It's been a long time since I've been outside of the state.
Right. Well, there's a federal judge who, his name is Judge Richard Mash. He says that these registries online showing where registered sex offenders are, he calls that a bridge too far and gives people too much power to inflict punishments beyond those imposed through the court. There was an attorney and there were three sex offenders who filed this suit. It wasn't class action. The attorney said that the registry caused the sex offenders great psychological harm and force them to live in fear of repercussions.
My answer to that is good.
Making them at risk for vigilantes' action to have their houses burned down, beaten up, or even killed, that is cruel and unusual punishment, says their lawyer. There's not a single crime in Colorado that's been solved because of the sex offender registry. Sex offenders have probably the lowest recidivism rate of any felon, and to single them out for this type of public ridicule and registration is irrational. It doesn't do anything to keep our community safer. Do you want to bet?
Does he not think that maybe because we have the registry, that's why they're the lowest?
Right. No, that's the typical
maybe,
leftist mind.
Yeah, we have it there. That's why they haven't done anything. We don't take it away.
No.
Free reign. We can move wherever, right next to a school.
It does keep them. It does keep people safe.
Yeah, it keeps you safe.
Because I can tell my kids, that house over there, there is a registered sex offender there. So you don't go outside to play by yourself. You keep the house locked. And we take other defense, self-defense measures as needed.
Yes.
No, I'm not being a vigilante. I'm not. I never once did it occur to me to burn the house down.
And I'm pretty sure we still have laws that are
like
you
would
know, for
prosecute
that.
Me for that.
Yeah, if you go burn a house down, even if it's a sex offender's house, you're still going to get in trouble for that. We don't encourage people to do that.
Well, this is Colorado.
That is ridiculous.
This
to me.
This is Colorado. Well, it was a federal judge.
Yeah.
But it was the attorney was based out of here. So, yeah, the left just is just pushing forward with making the world a safer place, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? All right. Trump is going to close the DACA amnesty. Did you know that? That just came out this evening during
I don't know
my
what
show.
DACA is.
Okay, let's get some education on
yes.
DACA. DACA amnesty is Obama's, it's the Dreamer Act. Let's see if I can give you the formal.
The Dreamer. Okay, yeah, name it something really good.
I know.
Dreamer Act.
DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It was basically Obama's program that allowed backdoor amnesty because of an advanced parole loophole. And it was Obama's way of creating amnesty for obtaining green cards and citizenship. And basically, Trump has decided to formally end it. And it's saying here, Breitbart saying 800,000 younger illegal immigrants will not get their amnesty. He's decided to end the program. It grants work permits to undocumented illegals.
I'm surprised they haven't said people are going to die because of this. People will die.
I know. So, yes. And the problem that he's going to face is he's going to send this back to Congress. He's going to give it 6 months before he enforces it. And we have 18 Republicans who are going to resist him. Paul Ryan, House Speaker, Lindsey Graham, Orrin Hatch, Tom Tillis, Jeff Flake, Jeff Denham, David Valadeo, Carlos Caballero, Mario Diaz-Balart, Daniel Donovan, Don Bacon, Ileana Ross-Lehtinen, Will Hurd, Martha McSally, Scott Taylor, Dave Reichert, Dan Newhouse, and John Faso.
It seems like every time something comes up, that list gets a little bit bigger.
It does get bigger.
It's almost like the election's coming up and everyone's getting a little scared.
They want to continue Obama's era of amnesty for people who are brought to the country illegally. According to Breitbart, 45,000 roughly DACA recipients have been approved for advanced parole. About 60,000 DACA recipients have applied for lawful permanent resident, known as the green card. 49,000 DACA recipients have been approved for a green card. Of the DACA recipients with green cards, 2,200 or so have applied for U.S. citizenship. Of the DACA recipients with green cards, about 1,100 have become U.S. citizens. What it is under advanced parole, illegal aliens that are protected by DACA were allowed to leave the U.S. and then return, which turned their once illegal status into now a formally legal immigrant status. And that's all Obama's doing. And Trump is going to try and end it. And do you think the GOP is going to cooperate?
Not.
Apparently, they're not. So,
especially if he has a 6 month deadline, he's getting too close to the election. They want to.
I saw that Jeff Sessions told him to go through Congress, and I don't know enough about the process on that end to speak to it. But golly, depending on our GOP Congress, nothing's going to happen.
No.
So we talked about Hickenlooper and Kasich, the rumor that they might run the Dream Unity ticket,
oh, yes.
Right? And then they came out and supposedly dispelled that. Well, they're still a pair. Now they're calling for state and federal partnership on health care. Now, do you want Governor Hickenlooper and John Kasich deciding about
no.
your... I don't either.
No.
I don't either. They have released a copy of a bipartisan health care plan that they're going to send to Congress to consider when it returns from its August recess in a few days because they're unity guys. Ugh. It's a 7-page letter, and there's not much detail here in the article here from ColoradoPolitics.com, but it says that federal efforts to address insurance have been more of a problem than the part of the solution. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing uncertainty about the direction of federal policy is driving up premiums, eliminating competition and leaving consumers with fewer choices. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to continue to try and stabilize the individual market and have developed innovative solutions to preserve coverage while making insurance more affordable.
Yeah. I don't want to explain how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen.
Well, anytime government wants to stabilize a market, you know there's a problem. Stabilizing a market is just another word for
regulation.
Don't
worry, we'll handle it.
Because it's a Democrat and a Republican coming
together.
We need
another branch of government called the insurance branch.
Yeah.
It'll take care of everything. Don't worry about it.
All right, the last story I'm going to share tonight is this one, another federal judge. So we have a federal judge saying that the registered sex offender list in Colorado online is harmful to them.
Yeah, it helps too many people. We can't have that.
Right. Just tangent here, rabbit trail. We never talk about execution for these guys. If you touch a child that way, there should be no mercy.
Castration.
Yes.
Something like that.
No mercy. And these guys are shown extreme mercy by just being put on a list. It's not about vigilantes. When is the last time you heard about a vigilante going after a registered sex offender?
I don't think I've ever had.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, it's not that it hasn't or it has happened. It's just that it will happen, Michelle. It just hasn't happened yet.
Because those Trump people.
Oh, yeah, those white supremacist racists.
Oh, that reminds me. I do want to talk about one other story about Trump supporters. Remind me to do that before we hang up here. A federal judge. So did you know that Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued a two-week, U.S. District Judge Lee Yackey, he's not the one in question here. He issued a two-week injunction Thursday against a law that was signed in June by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. It was going to take effect Friday. It was a Texas law that would have banned second trimester dismemberment abortions in which the unborn babies are torn from limb to limb and then extracted from the uterus. Sounds pretty reasonable not to go dismembering little tiny humans.
You would think that would be part of any kind of a law against abortion would be, that should be up there. Don't do that.
Well, Planned Parenthood challenged it. And yes, it was this district judge, Lee Yackel. Sorry about that. He issued a two-week injunction. And he wrote that Planned Parenthood and other plaintiffs satisfied a requirement for this temporary injunction.
What was the requirement?
Well, it said it threatened injury to the plaintiffs, Planned Parenthood, outweighs any damage that the temporary restraining order might cause the state. So the damage to Planned Parenthood.
So we have to insure a business?
Yeah.
Is okay? I'm sorry, I didn't know government was there to protect businesses in that way.
The court concludes that plaintiffs have established that absent a temporary restraining order, they will suffer irreparable harm by being unable to access the most commonly used and safest previability second trimester abortion procedure ahead of any substantial constitutional review of the act.
So in essence, they're saying this is the thing we do the most. So don't let. So you should let us keep doing it.
Yeah, don't hurt us from our convenient method of chopping up the babies.
And they go through. They make this big deal about how we do it humanely. We don't do it that way. But then they just admitted this is the way we do it the most.
It's efficient.
If you stop us from doing it, we'll go out of business. That's how important it really.
And Planned Parenthood comes out and says, we're grateful that today's decision will protect women's access to one of the safest and most common methods of abortion in the second trimester.
Safest.
It's a dangerous law. It's another attempt by politicians to ban abortion step by step and method by method, regardless of who it hurts.
Well, except for the baby one. The baby, we're not counting that.
These federal judges, these must be Obama plants because they're just... It seems quietly,
ridiculous
yes.
that they would stop it for on a business stance.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, it would hurt their business. We can't enact that.
Anything to keep the abortion industry rolling. And they, they've never been prosecuted from all the undercover videos. Never.
Well,
never been prosecuted.
That's why I wish they would have done it outside of California, because California has those weird anti-recording laws where you have to have both parties agree to be recorded.
Well,
if it would have happened in any other state, that would be a whole different story.
The guy who did it, and I apologize because he deserves his name to be known, and I'm not recalling it right now. But I want to tell you about
Trump supporters.
Yes. So, do you know who John Legend is? He's a Grammy-winning singer.
Oh, yes.
You do?
Sadly.
Okay. Well, you're more hip than I am because I didn't know who he was.
Oh, yeah.
He's a singer and outspoken Donald Trump critic. This is from Breitbart. He put out a casting call this week to find actors to play Trump supporters in an upcoming music video. His description.
So, he's asking for people to act. Like, he's not asking for actual Trump supporters.
Just wait till you hear this.
Okay.
The description specifically mentions the actors should be white. And preferably out of shape.
Because we all know the only people who voted for Trump were white and out of shape.
White, sloppy, out of shape people.
Yes.
Can you imagine? He said, preferably out of shape. The camera will pass by them as they stand and rally. He's also seeking 10 young blonde actors, preferably with very short hair or short on sides, long on top,
to play
white male protesters.
So he's asking for white supremacists.
I read this and I thought how you would respond, so I'm going to do it for you.
Okay.
What if this was reversed? What if you and I want to make a music video and we want to get...
All the Obama supporters, only black people.
Yes. And to start describing a race... And say, we want the worst-looking ones you got for next...
Because we know they represent everybody who voted for Obama.
Oh, my goodness. So that's what I wanted to share.
That
is so racist.
Well, we
so
all
bad.
Know it's acceptable to do that to white people because you can't. It's not possible to be racist against white people. Not possible.
No, it's not. Well, that's all I've got tonight for the After Hours. Michelle Morin Show on AM 740 KVOR. With Jason Hunt. I hope you have a great week. Tune in every Sunday live from 9 to 11. And again, if you missed my show live, go to the KVOR website and click on my show, and you will find a link to podcast at the bottom of that page. And enjoy your listen. And I hope to hear from you next week here on AM 740 KVOR. Have a wonderful one.